Chapter 1. Lord Celest and Tylos Stormbound. The hammer falls. Vengeance tears from my throat, ringing through the bloodless metal of my mask. God King! I cry in a voice that is no longer my own. God King! Howl my lightning-born brothers as the tempest hurls us from the sky. The ground gives as we land, but Zarax rides on, ignoring the odd, yielding terrain. I cling to her scales, as blind as a newborn. The others are close behind, and I hear their metal boots pounding across this broken, benighted land. Weapons are drawn, oaths are howled, and I take my first breath of mortal air. Sulphur pours through my mouthpiece, and I gulp it down, relishing the bitterness. The storm thins, revealing plumes of smoke and embers. I whisper to Zarax, and as she slows, I sense the others gathering around me. I almost pity those we have come to destroy. Who could dream of such an enemy? The smoke drifts, revealing glimpses of a tortured landscape. We're heading down a glistening crimson road that seems to have been carved from a flayed corpse. Sigmar's tempest has landed us on a butcher's block of body parts and thrashing broken wings. It's a shameful sight, but I don't avert my gaze. I must be vigilant, aware. I must understand this place quickly. I look harder and realize that it's not a road, but a bridge of meat and chains, hazy with flies. Its span is vast beyond measure, stretching miles ahead before disappearing into a crimson wall of smoke. Over the side, I glimpse wisps of cloud and realize we're far above the ground. Shrieks fill the air, and I see that the bridge is alive. The whole structure is made of living birds, thousands of them, broken and burned together by hot irons and fixed to a mesh of thick, oily chains. It's the stink of their ruined flesh that fills my lungs. It's their thrashing bodies I'm riding across, and their pain I can hear. I want to roar in outrage, but I bite down my fury and keep my voice level. Advance, I say, rising up in my saddle and turning to face my army. My heart races as I see what I command. The storm has spawned a golden host. Even in this stinking, bloody wound, they are a vision. Every one of them is clad entirely in gleaming armor, still crackling with the fury of the storm. Pennants trail above glinting, haloed helmets, bearing the divine sigils of Sigmar and the celestial city. No army ever looks so glorious, so dignified. And Sigmar has entrusted it to me. The vanguard is a seamless wall of shield-bearing liberators, numberless ranks of heroes marching towards me in perfect unison. Then come the retinues of paladins, striding Goliaths that dwarf even the liberators, clad in blessed, god-wrought suits of armor. Some carry great two-handed hammers that look like they could topple city walls, while others wield pole arms, long, gleaming glaives with lightning in their blades. In their rearguard are my divine archers, hundreds of judicators, moving with the same precision as the rest of the army, readying their shimmering bows. High above, riding the thunderheads, are our winged guardians, the prosecutors, radiant, inviolable, and more dangerous than the lightning. I almost laugh. Stormcast Eternals, the God King's unbreakable fist. Removed from the golden halls of Azir, we shine all the brighter. I turn back to the bridge and see the sky for the first time. It's almost entirely obscured by rock. A vast sphere of smouldering ore, hundreds of miles in diameter, hangs directly over our heads. Such a star-burnt hulk can only be a moon, dragged from the heavens by divine will. It's moving towards us, shedding sparks and boulders as it glides majestically through the clouds. The sky ripples in its wake like water in the lee of a ship.
Lord Celestin!
I look down from Zarax's back at Lord Relictor Boreas. I can barely recognize my brother's dry tones. His arcane duties have left their mark on his speech, just like every other part of him. As I was being drilled and remade in the Celestial City, Sigmar sent my brother through death and beyond. Eternity echoes in his every word. Unlike the rest of us, my brother's mask resembles a bleached skull, and I find myself wondering what lies behind. Would I recognize his face? Unlike me, he has endured Sigmar's fire a second time. He knows what it really means to be immortal. The rest of my captains stand back in respectful silence as he approaches.
What are your orders, Lord Celestant?
He asks, speaking formally, giving no hint of our shared past. He glances at the heavens.
This was not prophesied. None of my auguries indicated that we would land here, on this bridge of birds.
I look back down the road, blanking out the thrashing wings and the insanity hanging overhead. The tempest can't have strayed too far off course, Boreas. I nod back down the bridge. We've clearly found our foe. There are figures emerging from the fumes. A barbaric, crimson-clad rabble scrambling along the bridge, pouring from the smoke like blood from a wound. The moonlight shows them in sickening clarity. They wear jagged, red and brass helmets, and their bare chests are lashed with scarred muscle. They carry repulsive, brazen idols and axes as tall as men, scored with foul sigils, and every one of them is draped in skulls and glistening with blood.
"Bloodreavers," says a voice edged with hate. "Finally, these snorting dogs will receive some justice."
I turn to face the speaker. "Liberator Prime, there can be no victory without discipline." I nod at the lines of liberators marching towards us. "They will follow our lead, Castamon. Show them what Sigmar expects." He nods, humbled.
"Lord Celestant."
I turn back to the Blood Reavers. As they run, they fill the air with a dreadful din. They are trailing something that clangs and clicks along the chains of the bridge, but at this distance I can't make out what it is. The rest of the liberators clatter to a halt around us, moving with such well-drilled precision that they could be on a parade ground. I point my hammer at the bloated moon and raise my voice.
"Remember this, Stormcasts. Nothing is forsaken. Look deep enough into the darkness, and you will always find Sigmar looking back."
They remain motionless and silent, but I feel their battle hunger. It radiates from their gleaming armor.
"Lock shields,"
I say, and there's a deafening clang as the vanguard snaps into place. The entire army moves as one, bodies, shields, and armor fitting together to make an impenetrable bastion of Sigmarite. Struggling to suppress my pride, I raise my warhammer, Grius, to the crimson heavens. It flashes in the moonlight, and Zarax lets out a roar. As the Drakoth rises beneath me, she opens her reptilian jaws and unleashes pure white fury at the clouds. The air crackles, and spider legs of electricity dance across my armor. I give the signal to advance, and as we meet the enemy lines, I become one with my expressionless mask, an emotionless implement of Sigmar's will. Anger is forgotten. Grief is suppressed. Everything falls away. The sound of shields rattling on greaves, the torment of the bridge, the lunacy of the moon, all I know is this moment. I feel the long, slow arc of my life reaching its culmination. Finally, I face the monsters I was born to slay. Gold and crimson collide. There is an explosion of grinding metal as the vanguards meet. Sparks glitter in the darkness. Axes clang against shields and bucklers smash against armor. The lines of liberators hold steady, and I order them onwards. Their shields lock tighter with every step, and they drive the enemy back across the bridge of birds. Even from a few rows back, I can barely breathe for the stink of the Blood Reavers, a ripe stench, even more powerful than the sulphurous moon. They fight like wounded animals, snorting, spitting and howling as they throw themselves against the Liberator's shields, trying and failing to break our line. I glimpse deranged faces, eyes rolled back in sockets, delirious with rage. They're more stampede than army. "Drive them back!" I shout, as the Blood Reaver's frenzy grinds us to a slow plod. "Drive them back to whatever dark vault spawned them!" They begin to drop, felled by lightning hammer strikes, golden flashes that lash out from behind shields, crushing armor and bone. It seems that victory will come before I even have chance to gauge the strength of my army. I hear a cry of pain from the shield wall. I peer through the serried golden lines and glimpse one of my liberators clutching at his throat. His armor has been rent, and there's blood, lots of blood, rushing between his fingers. He vanishes from view as the phalanx closes around him. His choked screams scrape around my skull, and I drive Zarax forwards, keen to be done with these animals. Even the Drakoth cannot easily wade through such a crush. So she unleashes a gout of lightning, tearing a channel through the enemy ranks. The smell of cooking meat intensifies the stench. A Blood Reaver bounds over the shield wall. He vaults several rows, screaming hysterically, and lashes out with a pair of jagged axes. Another Stormcast staggers as the Blood Reaver crashes into him. Before the Liberators can respond, a Paladin strides casually forwards and brings down his huge two-handed hammer. He moves with a languid, easy grace, but his blow lands like a thunderclap. The bridge rocks, and blinding light envelops us all. Even Zarax stumbles. When the glare fades, the Blood Reaver is gone, and the Paladin has calmly resumed his place. If it weren't for the gore sliding down his breastplate, there would be no sign that the Chaos creature had ever existed. I take note of the Stormcast's markings. "Retributor Celadon!" I shout, disguising my pride beneath a stern snarl. "Wait for my command!" More of the howling curs manage to scale the shield wall, disrupting our faultless lines. It's becoming harder to match the dispassion of my mask. Anger boils through my limbs. I clutch one of my honor scrolls and recite the Oath of Becoming. Dozens of Blood Reavers are falling to the Liberator's hammers and swords, but I hear Stormcasts crying out too. Such noble beings were not made to succumb to such soul-sick dogs, and my patience starts to fray. The crush of bodies becomes oppressive. My eyes blur with sweat, and my muscles burn with the effort of holding myself back. Another Liberator falls, and a whole section of the shield wall gives. The Blood Reavers seize their chance and wrench the gap wider with a flurry of axe blows. I signal to the Paladins, finally giving them permission to advance, and they surge forwards, led by Celadon's brutal blows. "Close ranks!" I roar, rising up in my saddle and ordering the Liberators back into position as the Paladins storm ahead. They try to obey, but the Blood Reavers are becoming even more feral. They fight with no structure or reason. Something is driving them into a boiling frenzy. It's bewildering. Another Stormcast cries out in pain, and I will take no more. "For the God King!" I roar, launching myself from Zarax's back and into the enemy, joining the wave of Paladins. Ranks of warhammers rise behind me, along with a chorus of battle cries. The fight begins in earnest. I pick out the largest Blood Reaver and bear down on him. His face has been warped beyond recognition by deep, jagged scars, and there are thick hoops of brass hammered through his biceps. Every inch of him has been transformed by a lifetime of war. The din of battle is everywhere, but I'm deaf to everything beyond the deep, phlegmy rattle of his breath. He snorts like a boar, drooling and bestial as he smashes his axe into my hammer. The bolt jolts through me, and I rock back on my heel, gauging the weight of him against my own strength. He is as heavy as iron, but I'm easily sufficient for the task, and after the crush of the shield wall, I relish the chance to lash out. The stink of his breath is worse than the rotting bridge. He growls something in his disgusting, dark tongue, and I recognize the smell of human flesh. I smash Grius into his axe and savor the sensation of my armor-clad limbs. My body feels like a new weapon, forged in the stars. There's a strength in me that I can barely fathom. The Bloodreaver recovers and swings, but I'm faster. So fast! Grius crunches through the mouthpiece of his helmet, tearing it away in a shower of sparks and blood. His head snaps sideways, and he reels away from me, jaw hanging loose from his head. I stride after him, barging deeper into the crush, and draw back my warhammer for another blow. Laughter explodes from his throat. He tears away what remains of his jaw, hurling it to the ground like a remnant of a meal. There's something so obscene about this that I pause. Only for a second, but long enough for him to slam his fist into my golden mask. My head rocks back as a long iron spike grinds through the eye socket of my helm. Pain explodes across my face, and my helmet fills with blood. I stagger backwards, reeling across the threshing birds, blinded in one eye, and almost drop my hammer. He gurgles grotesquely as he lunges after me, blood rushing from where his mouth used to be. Pain only makes me faster. My hammer connects with the top of his helmet, and brass crumples beneath God-forged Sigmarite. His skull collapses. He gives a last porcine grunt and topples back into the throng. I down another opponent with a backhanded blow, then step back to survey the scene. I've unleashed a storm. Freed from the crush, the paladins are striding through the Bloodreavers like a tempest, their voices raised to Sigmar, lightning flashing across their hammers. The Bloodreavers topple before the combined onslaught of liberators and retributors. It's a massacre. My army flows like gold from a brazier. In minutes, we have shattered their ranks, scattering heads and axes as we go. The battle is almost won. Boreas fights beside me, smashing his way through the enemy with slow, precise determination, splitting shields and heads. I wipe the blood from my golden mask and realize that we're mirroring each other as we strike. "Victory and honor!" I cry, and he raises his hammer in reply. I take a fume-filled breath and look around. There's a vast shape looming up from the smoke further down the bridge, punctuated by ominous crimson lights.
"That's not the Crucible of Blood,"
I call out to Boreas. "We must finish this quickly and find out where the storm has landed us." He peers at the distant tower.
"You have eyes in the heavens, Lord Celestant."
I nod and look up into the darkness.
"Drusus!"
I cry, fending off a blow and peering back down the bridge. At first, there's no reply, so I battle on, scouring the heavens for my cloud-born prosecutors. The moon has fallen even closer. The sight of it is dizzying, vast beyond understanding. Such a colossal, dazzling sphere has no place, looming so low. As it gets closer, it starts to affect the bridge. The structure sways so violently that birds are being torn free and hurled up towards the sky, and the chains reach up to the clouds, dancing like serpents.
"Lord Celestant!"
cries a voice. I make out the golden form of Drusus flying overhead. Divine light gilds his wings as he dives through the fumes, trailing Sigmar's heralds of death behind him. He banks and rolls, clutching twin hammers. Even the blank expression of his mask can't hide his excitement.
"See what this bridge has in store for us!"
I shout, levelling my hammer at the shadows up ahead. Drusus nods but remains overhead, struggling to hold his place, buffeted by a new storm that has sprung up.
"Lord Celestant!"
he cries, pointing one of his hammers back to where debris is flying up from the bridge.
"The moon is falling!"
Before I can reply, a circle of Bloodreavers surrounds me, each clutching an axe as tall as I am. If they've noticed their losses, they don't show it. They lope towards me like drunken brawlers. As I ready myself, I feel a charge in the air, traces of Sigmar's wrath circling once more, crackling in my joints, responding to my faith. I raise my warhammer to the clouds and cry an oath. The Blood Reavers charge, and my armor blazes white, ignited by the remnants of Sigmar's tempest. Grias erupts as I bring it down between my feet. There's a thunderclap, and a ring of light slams into my attackers. Blood flies from their mouths, and they arch in pain as their backs break. "Make for the towers!" I cry, vaulting their twitching corpses and hurling myself back into the throng. Whatever Drusus has seen, the battle is nearly over, and we need to advance. My leap takes me unexpectedly high, and I have an odd sensation of weightlessness. It takes me several seconds to land back on the bridge. The battle rages on, but most of the Blood Reavers are dead, and the rest are in disarray. So I call my retinues back into formation for the final push. We will finish this with the same dignity with which we began it. I'm still a few paces away from the phalanx when my feet lift off the ground again, and my face turns to the sky. Deranged laughter fills the air as I try unsuccessfully to grasp onto something. Dozens of birds are being torn free and hurled into the ink-dark sky. The whole bridge is bucking and heaving. I spin in the air, thrashing my limbs. As I turn, I see that some of my liberators have been thrown to their knees, while others, like me, are rising into the air.
"Lord Celestant!" cries Drusus from somewhere nearby. "The moon is too close!"
An iron hard hand locks around my throat, and I turn to see one of the berserk warriors laughing wildly as he drifts up beside me, several feet above the bridge. His axe swings towards my face. The sickening sensation of weightlessness slows my reactions. I bring Grias up, but only quick enough to deflect his blow, and the axe slams into my gorget. The blessed Sigmarite holds, but we continue to spin away from the ground. The Blood Reaver still has hold of my throat, and we pirouette through whirling embers. His breath reeks of death. His scarred, leathery muscles are slick with blood, and his battered helmet is daubed in tribute to the Blood God. His face is near enough for me to see cracked, corpse-dry lips and thin, blackened teeth. He's too close for me to swing my hammer, so I pound the handle into his face, breaking his nose. He just laughs harder as we float higher. Then he twists his voice around words I can understand.
"Fly home,"
he says, his voice an obscene gurgle. Then, with a snort of derision, he tries to shove me away, but my speed has not entirely left me. Before I'm lost to the storm, I manage to grab hold of his axe. The fool is so rabid that he won't let go of his precious weapon, so I haul myself down its length, grabbing onto his arm with one hand and swinging Grias with the other. It connects squarely with his head, and I hear the crack of his breaking neck. He slumps in my grip. I roll again, hanging onto his corpse, and get a sickening bird's-eye view of the battle below. Dozens of my stormcasts are being lifted up from the jolting bridge. Only the paladins are too heavy to be moved. Most of the Blood Reavers are dead, but the survivors howl ecstatically as the moon wrenches us from victory. Finally, I realize the significance of something that has been bothering me since I first saw it. Every one of the Blood Reavers is shackled to the bridge.
"The chains!"
I cry, grabbing hold of the one attached to the corpse and lashing it around my leg.
"Drusus!"
I can see him and the other winged prosecutors still hurling hammers of lightning at the foe.
"The chains! Lash us to the bridge!"
He stares at me, confused, then nods and waves his retinues into action. They dive into the crowds of drifting stormcast eternals, grappling as many as they can back down to the bridge. Our orderly attack has become an airborne riot. As Drusus's prosecutors attempt to lock chains around their brother's legs, the remaining Blood Reavers lash out with their axes, hacking them down as they struggle to secure the chains. My head pounds as liberators rush up through the clouds, snatched by the lunar storm and thrown to the heavens. The moon is so close, the air is groaning beneath its incredible mass. Drusus and the other winged prosecutors lash countless dozens to the bridge, but others are disappearing from view, flashing like reclaimed comets as they rush towards the firmament. My stormcasts rage as they are dragged from this world. Anger boils in my knotted gut as the storm spins me faster. The grinding of the moon becomes deafening, throbbing in my still bleeding head, until I think it might split.